Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. That's beautiful. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation 20. And tonight we'll probably get into Revelation 21. We'll just have to see how the night goes for us. Revelation 20. Huh? Very easy. Okay, hey, Nate, how you doing, man? All right. Hazel, you don't have to sit in the closet. You can sit out here. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And first we'll be in prayer for Tish, and you're doing
good.
Okay. It hasn't gone away, though.
No.
But it is going.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's shrinking.
Okay.
But I feel good.
Okay, good. That's good. Right. I've known a lot of people that died when they felt real good, so I don't know.
Well, it depends on who needs that.
Well, really?
But, I know. I want to know is the medical report. It's shrinking, it's going away, and that's good.
That's right.
Yeah, my goodness. Okay, let's see. Yes.
For Mother.
Absolutely.
The doctor called her, and they think that with the test they ran on her head, that she's had a concussion. So with all of her other problems that she's had in the wreck, and they said it took about 6 months for the concussion to come on her.
Really?
She's, wow. Between that and breast and ribs and everything else,
she needs our prayers.
She's had a couple of months.
Did she fall or something?
Somebody hit her in the back.
She
was stopped. And boy, they just plowed into her. And, well, we need to be in prayer.
She tries to, you know, tell everybody she's just fine, everything's great, and all that, but she's not.
From her foot to her head. Wow. That's really bad. You can hurt a baby when shaking him. And as you get older, your head and that inside there hits that skull. And it can really cause some damage.
Yeah, this
wow.
is, because what happened to Mother? Because as you age, your brain shrinks. So there's more room for that trauma. When you have it.
The brain shrinks when you get older? I didn't know that. I didn't have that much to start off with, man. Now it's shrinking away. Oh, me. Pretty soon they call me Airhead. All that air around there. All that air around where the brain was, between the brain and the skull. My goodness. Oh. Okay, so we need to be in prayer. Tish needs to be in prayer for Edna, big time. I need to be in prayer for Bill Hess. And in fact, we need to be. Gabe, Heather's little boy, had some little problem, but he's much better now. Tyson told me today. So he's doing good. And we need to be in prayer for our young people here at the church. And so after the report Sunday, yes. Need to be in prayer for Wanda. Tisha's sister was taken to the hospital, and they may have to operate on her heart. They may not. But when did she go in?
Yesterday. And so they're doing the test now to try to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah.
So
it's just a
hex on your family. I don't know. I mean,
so
everybody.
He said they're going
to
do an angiogram.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
But she'd taken so many aspirins, they couldn't do it. But she went in.
Oh. When I went in, they wanted to do an angiogram, and I had to sign that if they wanted to put in a stent, it'd be okay. And so I signed that, and if they didn't, then that'd be all right. So I came out of all of that, and I was lying there, and I looked up, and I said, "What did y'all have to put in a stent?" And he said, "No." And I went, "Oh, good. And this Persian doctor leans over and he goes, "No, not good." "Not good." And I go, "Not good." He goes, "Not good." But we'll be in prayer for Wanda. My goodness. Yeah, big time prayer. I don't know if you remember, but Wanda's husband died, what, a year ago?
Not even a year,
okay. So, you need to be in prayer for Wanda. And let's see, any other prayer requests we need? Need to be in prayer for Sharon, Judah's friend Sharon.
I have a situation that my company that I work for just announced they were going to be closing the store. So I'm going to be...
The piano place?
Mm-hmm. So I've got about 3 months and then I'm going to have to decide where I'm going to go. So I've already had several people approach me from other companies, but just, you know, to help me in making the right decision.
Any offers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we'll be in prayer.
Yes.
That the right offer will come along and keep you here and keep you wealthy and all that. So that'll be good. So we'll be in prayer, Wes. Thank you very much. And 3 months?
Right, end of June.
End of June. Okay. All right. Wow. And then that would happen to the one over in the other place. They had to close down too. Come on, people in America, get back to music. No wonder we're in so much trouble. Nobody loves music anymore. So, all right, so we'll be in prayer, Wes, absolutely. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer and get ready for our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you have taken compassion upon us and told us things that are going to be. We do not have to wonder. No other book on planet Earth lays out all these things, Heavenly Father, and yet people run to these heretical, satanic, religious books and set aside the Bible, try to find fault with the Bible, try to find error in the Bible, while they run and bow at the Quran, the writings in the Hindu religion, all these other books. And this is the book that answers all these questions like no other book. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Revelation 20. Last week we ended with the Great White Throne Judgment. Let's just read a little bit and then pick it up. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Doesn't identify him, but we know from John that God has turned over all judgment over to the Son. From whose presence earth and heaven fled away, talking about the end time, the old earth, the old heaven. And no place was found for them. And so that's why chapter 21 will start out with a new heaven and a new earth, because the other one is done away with. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So he has a stack of books, and in that are the deeds of all the unbelievers. And then he has a one book over here, has the name of all those who are believers in Jesus Christ. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds, their works, not according to their sins. Sins were taken care of on the cross. So their sins will not be an issue at the Great White Throne Judgment. They're not an issue at the judgment seat of Christ for born-again believers. They have been taken care of on the cross. So that brings us tonight. Now, last week we finished up with the Great White Throne Judgment, the Great White Throne. And tonight let's take a look at the Book of Life and the Book of Works. See if we can kind of go through this, not spending a great deal of time. the book of life, and the book of works. Let's begin by opening, if you will, your Bibles to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, 8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. Those who dwell on earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast, and he was not, he was and is not, and will come. And we studied all of that and what's going on. Then we look at Revelation 20:12 and 20:15. We didn't read verse 15, so let's read verse 15 as we go into our study. Revelation 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, so let's take a look at the book of life and the book of works. Point one. Book of life. Well, first of all, the book of life is what we're going to look at first. Now, point one under the book of life. One, this book contains the names of everyone in the human race when he is born, because Jesus Christ died for all. Two, everyone's name is put in the book of life as the grace of God. Three, three categories of individuals. Three categories of individuals. A, those who never reach the age of accountability. They die as babies or before they reach the age of accountability. Or they're born mentally retarded. Those who die before reaching the age of accountability. Jesus Christ died for these people, and they never got to make a decision. Their name is in the book of life. B. I'm going to use the word, you can put it in quotes, normal, whatever that is. Normal people. Normal person's name stays in the book of life until he dies. Having never believed in Jesus Christ, therefore, when he dies, his name is blotted out of the book of life. Okay, let's write down and then let's take a look at a few passages on this. Revelation 3, 5. So let's turn back now to Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. We have a few passages we need to look at in this respect. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed. Overcoming is overcoming Satan's attempt to blind, and therefore they believe in the gospel. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase or blot his name from the book of life. And I will acknowledge his name before my Father and before his angels. Let's look at Psalm 69:28. Psalm 69:28. Okay, Psalm 69, verse 28. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. The righteous are those who have been imputed righteousness at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, not by any works of righteousness, but imputed righteousness. Let's look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus 32, verse 32 and 33. Verse 32 and 33. Verse 32, then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written." Verse 33, the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. I will blot out of my book." Now the sin here is the unforgivable sin of rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior, in this case the coming Messiah. So in our study we're looking at B. We've looked at point three, three categories of individuals. A, those who do not reach the age of accountability for just a multitude of reasons. Their name remains in the book of life. B, normal people. If they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, their name is not blotted out. And the C, those who die or are raptured having believed in Jesus Christ. Those who die or have been raptured at the rapture, believing in Jesus Christ, their names remain in the book of life. Point four. Let's note some facts, what we know from Scripture, about the book of life. Believers are in the book of life. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, your name is in the book of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Let's take a look at Philippians 4, 3. I think every now and then you need to go over these passages and be aware that they're in the Bible and what they say. Philippians 4:3. "Indeed, a true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." B, unbelievers' names are blotted out. Unbelievers' names are blotted out at the point of death. This is Psalm 69:28 that we just looked at. And then C, dead unbelievers are not in the book of life. We'll note this in Revelation 20:15. Five. The book of life is one thing in time and another in eternity. It's one thing in time and another in eternity. It has one repercussion in time and another in eternity. A, basically it is a registry containing the names of every member of the human race in time. B, but in eternity it is a registry of every born-again believer only. When a person dies as an unbeliever, their name is removed from the book of life, and that's that. Very important is point six to me. Names of those written in the book of life is one of the fundamental reasons why we should help one another, encourage one another, restore one another, all these wonderful things. Philippians 4:3 that we just read, where he prayed for these women and for Clement. And if you just remember that another person, if they have believed in Jesus Christ, people, they're written in the book of life. Their name is there. Be careful how you treat them. Be careful how you speak of them. No matter how bad they may be, their name is in the book of life, and that's that, and you need to be aware of that at all times. Dealing with your husband, your wife, your children, your family, people at the church, people in life. Just remember, their name is in the book of life. We do this from different perspectives. Another one is, you're going to be with them forever and ever. So you want to bear that in mind. But this one, their name's in the book of life, and you're no better than they are. Both are saved by grace. Point seven. So the book of life is related to the last judgment. The book of life will be brought out at the last judgment, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. It's not brought out at the judgment seat of Christ, but it is brought out at the great white throne judgment so that they can see that their name is not in the book of life. It is opened by God, so the unbeliever can see that his name is not in the book of life. They died not believing in Jesus Christ. Their names were blotted out. 8. At this point, another book is opened by the judge. It's called the Book of Works. And the unbeliever is now dealt with by these sets of books, the Book of Works. It's plural because there's going to be a lot of books. It takes one book to write down the name of all the people that are born-again believers. But write down everyone's the list of all that they've done good. This is going to require plural books. And finally, point nine, being permanently in the book of life means you cannot lose your salvation. Your name is in that book. He's not going to take it out. God doesn't have this eraser. He can put it back and take it off and all that. And finally, 10. Having your name permanently in the book of life means that you have access to the eternal holy city. And that's coming up in our next chapter. But right now, while it's in your mind this way, let's look at Revelation 21:27. 21:27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So one of the privileges of having your name is not only that you do not stand before the great white throne of judgment, but that you will have access to the eternal holy city. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life once you've died, and only the believers' names are in that. All people's names start off in the Book of Life. But the best we can do with the Lamb's Book of Life is that those who have believed in the Lamb, they're in that book. All right, the Book of Works. Book of Works. 1. Contains the names of all unbelievers. Contains the names of all unbelievers. Two, contains the good works, the good deeds of every unbeliever. Three, the Book of Works mentioned only at the last judgment. Only unbelievers will be at the last judgment. Revelation 20. Point four is very important. Why? Why does God open this book at the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment? All who are present at the great white throne judgment are there for one reason, and only one reason. They've refused to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why they stand before the judge. They are not there because of their sins. Their sins were taken care of at the cross. Nor will their sins be mentioned at the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ bore them at the cross. So, their defense for not being cast into the lake of fire is their good works, but I was good. I did this and this and this. All their good deeds, all their works, is what they will put up before the judge. That is, they will try to match all their good deeds against the work of Christ on the cross. They will try to match all their good deeds against the work of Christ on the cross. Now, what's interesting here is that God has been keeping the record. They don't even have to keep their own record. Unbeliever may get up there and say, well, I did this and that. And, well, you cut yourself short. I got 3,000 good deeds you did. Really? Wow! I was only banking on 10. Man, that is great. God said, yeah, I've been keeping a record for you. Here, let me show you your sheet. In fact, man, that's why it takes up books. You got, look at here, you got 5 sheets. Good deal. Well, man, I'm in then. See? No, you're not. Because he takes all these good works, pits them against the work of Christ on the cross, and they do not bear out. So, point 5. God will place the work of His Son on the cross, the righteousness of Christ, against the works of every unbeliever. An unbeliever's righteousness does not even compare with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. See, we have self-righteousness. This is the righteousness we produce when we're good. That's why nobody's saved by their good works. Because let's look at Isaiah 64 a moment. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, and we want to look at verse 5. Isaiah 64, verse 5. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. Behold, you were angry, for you sinned. We continued in them a long time. Well, let's see. They shall... let me say, what am I looking here? 64:5. All right. I know the passage. I thought that was in 64, but maybe 65:4. But anyway, our righteousness is filthy rags before him. And, Verse 6. Okay. 64, verse 6. All right. Didn't read far enough. For all we have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds, and here's what's going to be brought up at the great white throne judgment, all our righteous deeds written down in that book are like filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf. So they're all, take all these good deeds that you've done, and he's keeping a good count of this. He's not going to miss any good deed by an unbeliever. Bring it up, filthy rags. No righteousness at all before God. And finally, point 6. Therefore, the basis of condemnation is not sins, but good works. They stand before the judgment seat because they've rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. But the basis of their condemnation will be their good works, their deeds. Now, this brings about an interesting discussion if you're ever sitting around and run out of things to talk about. You can talk about, are there degrees of punishment in the lake of fire? In other words, if you had a whole lot of good deeds, you're going to be burning a little hotter. The thermostat's up a little bit. If you don't have so many good deeds, thermostat's turned down a little bit. So that's just a fun thing that seminarians like to argue and discuss at night. When while the rest of the world is out on hot dates, seminarians are in the dorm arguing about their degrees of punishment in the lake of fire. So that's the way we spend our time. So, okay, let's go back to Revelation 20, verse 13. All right, 2013 deals with all unbelievers will be at the great white throne judgment. Verse 13 deals with the resurrection of the dead, called the second resurrection. Let's read verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds, their works, their accomplishments. Okay, let's look at the verb gave up. It's an aorist active indicative of didomi, to give. It's a basic fundamental word, to give. And it refers to the second resurrection. Gave up refers to the second resurrection. The aorist tense is a point in time just before the great white throne judgment. The resurrection of all unbelievers will occur. This is a resurrection to eternal death. This is a resurrection to eternal death, a resurrection to the lake of fire. The resurrection of the believer, in contrast, is a resurrection to life. The second resurrection is a resurrection to death. All right, let's take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Let you write it down, and then we'll turn to Daniel 12, verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground, that's all of those who have died, will awake. All right, resurrection. These to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. They will stand, these are the ones that will stand at the great white throne judgment. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The writer of the book of Revelation, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. People like to skip over the great white throne judgment, the last judgment, but if you're going to study the Bible, you just can't do that. And it's good to understand all the facets and understand who's going to be there and why they're there. They rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. All right, you go to John chapter 5, and let's read verse 29. Chapter 5, verse 29. And will come forth those who did the good. Now, you see the word deeds? That's not there. If you have a correct Bible, it should be in italics. Who did the good. What is the good? Believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. To a resurrection of life. And those who committed the evil, what's the evil? The evil is a rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. Who did the evil to a resurrection of judgment. Great white throne judgment. So verse 29, and will come forth those who did the good, faith in Christ, to a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil, rejection of Christ, to a resurrection of judgment. One more passage on this. Let's look at Acts 24. Acts 24. Acts 24, verse 15. Acts 24:15. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous, believe in Jesus Christ, imputed righteousness, that we're studying in Romans 3 right now, and Sunday morning, and the wicked. The wicked, that is the designation of those who rejected and refused to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Okay, back to Revelation 20:13. And the sea gave up the dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead. Okay. First of all, the point here is, now if it gave up, that's resurrection. The point is that all the dead will be present. Please understand that the dead does not refer to the being eternally dead or the soul dead, so physically dead as far as life is concerned. But death as it relates to time is what we're talking about here. And the sea gave up the dead which is in it. Sometimes ask a question. What about those who die in the sea, where 500 fish nibble on them and go off in 500 different directions? What about all of that? Well, as far as that's concerned, you can mark this down. That's not too confusing for God. God can keep track of all of that. He can keep track of where they went down, all these kind of things. I mean, I was thinking just how funny this is. God, boy, he's got to keep track of every hair that falls off of our head. He's got to keep track of every bird that falls from the sky. He's got to keep track of every good deed that the unbeliever does. I mean, he's just got a lot of superfluous information he's got to keep tabs of. But don't worry about it. He's God. He can do that without a computer. Yes. It doesn't. That's my point. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It's it. Because people ask questions and want to know. This was very big at this time to the Romans and to the Greeks. If you died at sea. And I guess to the Vikings, but I hadn't done research on that. But to the Romans and Greeks, it was a very big deal if you died at sea. And not at a proper burial. And so it was a very big deal. And but having said all of that, it is more likely the sea giving up the dead which were in it. It's more likely this is a covering of Tartarus and Sheol. The sea is a covering of Tartarus and Sheol, where all unbelievers are held until the great white throne judgment. And then it says, death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. This refers to the remaining two compartments of Sheol, where fallen angels are, Tartarus and the Abyss. We studied that. Tartarus and the Abyss. We studied the categories and the names of some of the angels that are in each of those two categories of Sheol or Hades. And they were judged. This is the last judgment in history, the one most people think about when they talk about God's going to judge the world. And Jesus Christ is a judge. God the Father has given all judgment over to Him. Every one of them according to their deeds. Okay, let's note a few things here. Every one of them, each one of them actually is according to their deeds. First note the individual responsibility. Salvation is not corporate. It's individual. Judgment at the Great White Throne judgment is not corporal. It's individual. There's individual responsibility of your decision to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior or reject Jesus Christ as Savior. And each individual will stand before Jesus Christ accountable for his or her own individual decision concerning Jesus Christ. This denotes the fairness of God. And you can't stand there and say, well, nobody ever told me. First of all, you knew from Romans chapter 1, you knew the truth of these things was already there. And then you heard gospel hearing, you rejected it. So that's the first thing I want you to know, each one of them. And once again, note the basis of their judging. They will be judged not according to their sins. Sins are taken care of on the cross, but their good works, their good deeds that they offer in defense. The Great White Throne judgment is the final proof that salvation is not of works of man. All right, verse 14. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Because we have that little phrase, this is the second death, it refers to those who have died and those who are in Hades. Now, I have no problem with the idea that there's no more need of Hades, and it's taken care of, and death is ended. It's a second death. But because of the wording of the sentence, this is the second death, the lake of fire. Second death is experienced by unbelievers and by angels. And the second death is the lake of fire. Let's take a look at second death. Let's take a look at the second death. Just a few points to kind of get us oriented. One, the Bible does not speak of the first death. But the first death can refer to one of two deaths. You can choose. Don't let anybody tell you dogmatically. As it's been my custom from Genesis, from Revelation 1:1 all the way through. If we cannot know, then I'm not going to say it. A lot of people, prophecy people, oh, this is exactly what's going on. That's not true. If there's things you can't do. But it can refer to one of two things. One, physical death. Physical death. So that'd be the first death. Or secondly, the death into which we're all born. Under total depravity, we're all born spiritually dead. Separated from God in time. While the second death, separated from God in eternity. Point two, the definition of the second death. Definition of the second death. Let's look at Revelation 21. For this definition of the second death, Revelation 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So the second death is the lake of fire. And it is a death that lasts for all eternity. It's not just something that you die and that's the end of your being. It's what some people like to teach. But that is not true. This is eternal suffering, eternal separation from God. Let's look at 20:14 for definition. Chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is the second death. Very clear on that. Three, the second death has no authority over those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The second death has no authority, no power over those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's look at Revelation 2:11 for this principle. Revelation 2, verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, and that means to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, will not be hurt by the second death. So they're not going to be hurt by the second death. Okay. Point four, the second death has no authority or power over those involved in the first resurrection. Those involved in the first resurrection are all born-again believers. Revelation 26. So let's turn back to Revelation 20. And let's look at verse 6. Second death has no authority over those who are involved in the first resurrection. 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, no authority. We have no fear of the second death. No fear of the great white throne judgment. If you have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And finally, 5. Second death is the end of death. Second death is the end of the last enemy. The last enemy is death. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Powerful verse. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if you're, just so you remember, just whenever you hear 1 Corinthians 15, you're dealing with the great resurrection chapter. This chapter really orients to the resurrection. So, 1 Corinthians 15, 26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So death is cast into the lake of fire and is done away with. Also look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 and 55. 54 and 55. But when this perishable, will it put on the imperishable? That's our physical body. And this mortal, would it put on immortality? Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the born-again believer, death has no victory whatsoever. All right, one more. Let's look at Isaiah 25. Isaiah chapter 25. Okay, Isaiah 25, verse 8. Isaiah 25, 8. He will swallow up death for all time. That's what's going to happen at the great white throne judgment. And the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And of course, Revelation 21, 4. Let's just take one time to look at Revelation 21, verse 4, which we'll be getting into next Tuesday night. Revelation 21, 4. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things are all passed away. Things related to the earth are all passed away. Okay. Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 15. Yes. I'm sorry? Lake of fire. That's the end of death. They will remain in agony all for all eternity. In fact, my belief is, and I can document it, but my belief is they will spend eternity crying out the name that they have rejected. Yeah. No. No, that's the end of death. Yeah. And it'll be, I think that they'll spend eternity crying out, "Oh Jesus, why did I reject you?" So, in other words, people are going to be occupied with the Lord after death. So you can might as well do it in heaven as opposed to in pain and suffering. But you're going to be occupied with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Okay, 2015. And we're through with chapter 20. Another one under the belt. All right. And if anyone... All right, and this should ring to your mind, John 3:16. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If anyone... If anyone... Because everyone has this opportunity to believe. Name was not found written in the book of life. He was thrown into the lake of fire. So everyone has that opportunity. And when the book is open, their name is not in the book of life. They're cast into the lake of fire. When one dies as an unbeliever, his name is blotted out of the book of life. Therefore, at the end of the time, the great white throne judgment, Jesus Christ opens up the book of life to see if their name is in it, as it were, and shows them, your name is not here. Your name is not here, so let's open up another book and see all of your good deeds. Eternal suffering, but alive and aware of the suffering, experiencing the suffering. We saw this with Lazarus and the rich young ruler, and how Lazarus and him were able to talk, but he was in torment. They're going to be aware of everything. It's going to be painful forever and ever. Okay, that brings us to chapter 21, actually 21 and 22. But it brings us to chapter 21. Let's have a little fun. Anybody remember what chapter 1 of Revelation is about? In just quick summary. Jesus Christ's glory. Chapters 2 and 3. Church. Chapters 4 and 5. Heaven. Remember, the church goes up, and the next scene is the heaven is opened up. And then chapter 6. What? Six seals. There you go. Six deals with the six seals. In fact, chapters 6 through 19 deals with what? What? Tribulation. 6 through 19 deals with the tribulation. 19, second advent. 20, millennium and last judgment. That brings us to 21 tonight, and 21 deals with the eternal state. The eternal state. Chapters 21 and 22, new heaven and new earth. And the close of the canon. When you think of chapters 21, think of 21 and 22 together, you've got the new heaven and the new earth and the close of the canon of Scripture. With Satan out of the way and all the fallen angels out of the way, with all unbelievers out of the way, and for us, we can get things for our sin nature out of the way. The flesh nature out of the way. It's not part of the resurrected body. We can now go into the eternal kingdom. The eternal kingdom, chapter 21 through chapter 22:5. 21 through 22:5. Huh? Eternal kingdom, chapter 21 through 22:5. There are seven new things, and with this we'll close. Seven new things. New heaven, 21:1. New earth, 21:1. A new city, 21:9, chapter 21, verse 9 through 23. New nations, verses 24 through 27. New river, 22, verse 1. New tree, 22, verse 2. And a new throne, verses, chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. So we'll pick it up right here next Tuesday night and get into chapter 22. It won't take us all that long, but we'll get into it and note some things in there. Just amazing all the information that God makes us aware of, allows us to be aware of, because we'd want to know, what about this? What's this going to be like? And people want to know what heaven's going to be like. Well, we're getting ready to see a new heaven, new earth, new city, new nation, new river, new trees, new throne. We'll see the activity of the new city. We'll see a lot of things that are going on. And people want to know, will my dog be there? People, you're not going to care about your dog. You're not going to care about your dog. You're not going to care about your cat, your horse, your snake, your bird, whatever it is. And I always like people that have dogs. What about people who love horses? Oh, well, I love that. What about people who love snakes? Oh, well, what about people? Hey, come on. Just because you like a dog doesn't mean that they're getting privilege and going there. So we'll find out a little bit about it. We don't know everything, and we don't want it. We can't comprehend everything. There's no way that our mind could grasp the totality of heaven. No, the streets are paved in gold. Reminds me of a joke. The guy's about to die as a believer. And he makes a deal with God. He says, God, please let me, he has these bars of gold. He said, please let me take one bar of gold with me. And God said, okay. So he gets into heaven, and some of the other believers are already there making fun of him. Look, he brought brick up here. Brought some brick up here. So brick to lay on the street. Okay. Anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we praise you. How we thank you for so great a salvation and all the security and the confidence and the hope that we have. That the great white throne judgment has no power over us. Second resurrection has no authority over us. We won't even be there. We will be resurrected with him to live with him forever and ever. And Father, what this does for us to know about the resurrection of the dead, the second resurrection, and the great white throne judgment as an encouragement to witness to those that we love. Truly love someone, we wouldn't want them to suffer like this. Truly love someone, we wouldn't want them suffering in life. We'd go tell them. Why would we not tell them about how they can avoid suffering in eternity? So, Father, we thank you for this information. And now, Father, we get a glimpse of the new heaven, the new earth. Get a glimpse of the new Jerusalem. New things that are going on. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.